people around us need to become Christians. Isn't that true? People need to become Christians. They may not know it, but they actually need to become Christians. And if you're serious about your Christianity and an opportunity comes up, you need to be able to tell friends or strangers very clearly and succinctly why they need to become Christians. Now, in this series that we're doing, we're looking at 8 biblical pictures in the Two Ways to Live tract, which I've got here again, easy just to carry around. That's what we're looking at, the 8 little pictures in there, which, if you memorise those 8 little pictures, will make you able to share the Christian message easily and accurately with your friends. In actual fact, I think it's only 6 pictures. They're on the wall there at the moment. But the first one has got 3 sections in it, which I think puts us up to 8. Now, if we go back a couple of weeks, we found out that the first point of the Christian message is that God is actually there and God is in charge of the world. That's the first point. You can see it up on the picture there as we've got the coloured crown. God is there and he is above, he is in charge. The second point is that God created the world. And there we've got it in colour underneath. And when God created the world, he created it good and he created the world with purpose. Which brings us up to today. And we ask the question, what is the Bible saying now about humanity? We've heard that God is there, God is creator, and he created the world good. And we're going to now find out about the people. And again, once again, if you have a look at the little picture there, you can see that it's up there. The third point is of the message is that men and women were in fact the focus of God's good creation. So I think, Matt, we've got that up there. It's the same as the one on the wall now. So we're talking about the people who are now on the world. This is the third point that we're making. Now, just a little point aside, if you wanted to have a formal title for our sermon today, it would probably be titled Humanity. Okay, so sermon number 3, series number 3, Humanity, Destined to be Great. People were destined to be great. And it was actually Pamela, my wife, who saw the topic that was up for today, humanity, and she looked through my sermon and said, you should call that Destined to be Great. And I thought, that's a pretty good idea. So that's what we would call it today. Now, just the aside that I was thinking about, the 9th sermon in the series is going to be about how to become a Christian. So that would be a great sermon for you to think about bringing a non-Christian person along to this church service. That's going to be on the 25th of September. Putting it all together, putting all of the Two Ways to Live together and coming to its conclusion, how to actually become a Christian. Now, a couple of years ago from this pulpit, you may or may not remember, I mentioned the movie Blade Runner, which has got Harrison Ford in it. And I think we've got a picture up there, which Ben was kind enough to be able to find on the internet for me. Many of you will not have seen this picture. It's not one of the ones that was highly popular, but it was very pertinent. And at the end of this movie Blade Runner, in the final scene, before they made the director's cut, and that's all you can get now is the director's cut. And it removed this final scene. And the only place I know of where the final scene is still there is on a VHS videotape that I have still got where I taped this thing off the TV show. And in the final scene, Harrison Ford is in a fade-off situation going into the sunset, and his voice strongly calls 3 basic questions out. Harrison Ford's voice says, these are the big questions. Where did we come from? Where are we going? And what are we meant to be doing? Where did we come from? Where are we going? And what are we meant to be doing? Now, I ask you this morning, do you have an answer to those 3 questions? They're profound. Do you have an answer inside yourself about where you come from? Do you know where you're going, and do you know what you're meant to be doing while you are on this life's journey? Well, today we are actually going to answer Harrison Ford's questions in this sermon. See, friends, if you're going to witness to somebody, if you're going to share your Christian faith with them. You have to be able to tackle the big questions about our humanity. And that's actually what that movie was all about. And it was a great disappointment to me that the director cut the last questions out of it. I don't know why he would possibly have done that, because my understanding is that that's what the movie was all about. And he cut it out. I don't know, maybe thought it was a bit too heavy for people or something like that. But we've got to be able to tackle those questions, and we've got to be able to share with people that the Bible says that God is there and that God is actually involved with every human being who is on the surface of the earth. Thanks, Matt. We can put that one down there. That's all that we need that one up there for. God is involved with every human being. He's interested in them. He's got a destiny for them. And he will, in the end, make a judgment over them. So our job today is to ask, what does the Bible actually have to say about this? And so we go to our Old Testament reading, first of all, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, which shows us a picture about original humanity, humanity as it was when God created it. And the Bible says to us in that passage that God created men and women, and he created them good. So if we read out of verse 27 and then go to 31, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. And then in verse 31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. But this created being that God made was more than just a physical being. This created being, Adam, was made, the man was made out of the dust of the earth. In other words, he was a physical being. He had flesh. And if you wanted to put it that way, you would say that he was an earthy sort of guy. God made him out of the dust. He was earthy. But that's not all he was. Because it says, as well as being created out of the dust, he also had the breath of God breathed into him, the breath of life, the Bible says. And so as well as being physical and flesh and earthy, man was also a spiritual being. He had a soul. And as well as being earthy, he was also heavenly. And having the breath of God breathed into his nostrils is what distinguished him from all of the other animals, from all of the other creation. The Bible does not say that any of the other animal life had the breath of God breathed into him. It was only Adam, who was formed out of the dust, who had the breath of life breathed into him. And this is what distinguishes him from all the rest of the animal life in creation. Now you can ask the question, does that mean my dog's not going to go to heaven? Well, there's all sorts of things we could talk about with that. I'm not going to talk about those this morning because it would get us distracted. But whatever the case, we know that we do have the breath of God and we are spiritual beings, which means that as well as being earthy, we are heavenly. Now, this good created being, who was both physical and spiritual, was also made, the Bible says, in the image of God. This creature that was created was made in the image of God. This creature that God made, mankind, was similar to God in the image of God. This creature, this person, Adam, and then Eve out of Adam, God made, was a person who had the capacity, like God, to be creative. This special person had immortality. Life began at creation, but it would go on into eternity. This special person was self-aware. We don't believe that the animal kingdom, in the same way as we are in terms of consciousness, self-conscious, is self-aware. But Adam and Eve were self-aware, and like God, they were given free will. You've got choice. You've not been made as a robot, similar to God in being made in the image of God. And yet, careful, as well as that, we've got to realise that there were other characteristics about humanity that did not have similarities with God. Humanity is created, not creator. You are not God. Created in the image of God, yes. Being God, no. You are not self-existent. You don't have existence in your own self. You don't possess the origin of life. You were given life, but you were not the origin of life. And you are not Trinity. God is not human, although Jesus took on humanity in perfection. But God is Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You are not Trinity. These are things which are not similar to God. The Bible says that God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over all the earth." Well, this good creature that was both physical and spiritual, created in the image of God, was also given one more thing, and that is authority. Humanity was given authority over the creation and over all the creatures that were made in the creation, but also this man and this woman were under authority. They were given authority to a limited extent, but they were also under authority. And that authority was always that God must be boss. And the only alternative for humanity to God being boss is separation from God. And that means death. So it's either God is boss or you are dead. That's pretty strong and pretty frank, but that's what the Bible has got to say to us in its essence. So that's what the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 about the original humanity. Then we had our New Testament reading from Romans chapter 8. And that reading tells us about the human condition now. Now, this is going to be taken up more next week when the sermon topic is going to include the issue of human sin. But that's not going to be taken up today, so we'll leave that for next week's preacher. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament that God actually works for the good of his people. He always works for the good of his people. Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he does that even though many things in the fallen condition of humanity are terribly bad and terribly corrupted. We also find in that passage in Romans chapter 8 that there is an absolute security for God's people. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then he lists out all the things that could possibly separate us: height, depth, all those things, demons and all the rest of it. No. He says, none of that can separate us from the love of God, because there is absolute security for God's people. That's another aspect of our humanity. So in summary, let's bring this all together. We find that in the beginning, men and women were created. They were created perfectly in the image of God. That means they were activated spiritually out of the dust by God's direct breath of life. They were holding a noble and an exalted place of supremacy within the world of God's creation. And so again, if you're looking at the picture over there on the wall, you can see in picture form, which is good for us to be able to remember, that is what humanity is doing. We're holding a noble and exalted place of supremacy over the whole of that created order. And they are also endowed with some of the attributes of God, but not all of the attributes of God. And so we've got to not fall into the trap of thinking that we are little gods ourselves. For example, humanity is not omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, self-existent, transcendent, immanent, or immutable. Now, I'm using those big words because some of us who have been here for quite a while have heard those words before when we did our doctrine series. And what they mean and what they remind us of in those big theological technical words is to remind men and women that we are not omnipotent, full of power that God has. We are not unlimited in our power. We are not everywhere in God's creation at the same time. We are not omnipresent. We don't know everything that there is to know, although some of us act like we do. We are not omniscient, omniscient. We are not self-existent. We are not transcendent, which means that we are completely outside the realm of creation because we're the creator. We're not like that. We are inside the realm of creation. We're not transcendent. But we're also not immanent, pervading all of creation at the one time. We are not that big, and we're not immutable. We are not unchangeable like God is unchangeable. Things are able to change for us. So let's go back to Harrison Ford's big three questions. Now, folks, you need to be, this is the application. This is what we go away from today with this sermon. You need to be able to answer these big questions for your friends if you're going to help them to see why they actually do need to become Christians. You've got to be able to let them see what their need is. The questions, where did we come from? Where are we going? And what are we meant to be doing? And the answers are these, from what we've learnt today from the scriptures. You came from God. Now, that's not a hard thing to be able to tell someone, is it? When you meet someone and you want to witness to them, you think, what should I tell these people? Well, if you've got the two ways to live pictures in front of you, you've already told them that God is there and is the boss, and you've already told them that he made the world good, and now you're able to tell them, and you came from God. Where are you going? Well, you're meant to be going to heaven. That's not hard to say to someone. You are meant to be going to heaven. And what are you meant to be doing? Well, you actually have a purpose, and it's a threefold purpose. Your purpose, what you're meant to be doing, is that you are meant to be a godly ruler in this creation and to take a godly role as a man or as a woman, but it's got to be under your creator. So you're meant to be a ruler under the big ruler. What else are you meant to be doing? Well, you're meant to have God as your boss, and you're meant to have God as your friend, because you can be a boss and you can be a friend at the same time. And thirdly, what are you meant to be doing? Well, you're meant to be working here on this planet while you've got time. You've got your 70-odd years, and there's something for you to do here in looking after God's world. And so you're meant to be making this earth into a heavenly sort of place now. And that branches out into all those different sorts of things we can do in life. Environmental, relational, social, family-wise, all those sorts of things. We're meant to be making this earth a heavenly place. Is that what you see around the world? Are men and women making it a heavenly place? Well, next week we might find out why they don't. But for now, that's what you're meant to be doing. And not only are you meant to be making the earth a heavenly place now, but what you're meant to be doing lastly is you're meant to be preparing for fellowship, not here, but in heaven with God forever. That's what you're meant to be doing. Now, today is the ordinary 20th Sunday, and its theme is the will and the call of God for humanity. God's will and God's call. I looked at that in the prayer book and thought, I've got to put that in because it's quite coincidental. And I'm going to close today with the special prayer or the collect for this 20th Ordinary Sunday, where we're thinking about God's will and God's call for human human beings. And you might want to pray this prayer with me. I'll pray it slowly and carefully and see if this becomes your prayer. For the will and the call of God, God our Father, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass man's understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray today that we might learn the building blocks of the gospel, the good news, and we might learn them so well that we will be ready at any time
to share with people why they should turn to God and should become committed Christians themselves. We pray this week in Jesus' name. Amen.